This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We're back here at Gillespie High School. We're about ready to get this one underway. Carlinville will be coming to the plate. Their lineup looks like this. Center fielder Liam Tiemann leads it off. Second baseman Aiden Taberzi bats second. Shortstop Henry Kufa bats third. In the cleanup spot is left fielder Carson Weiser. Ryan Hart will be the pitcher for the Cavaliers today. Colton Costello will be out in right field. Zach Reels will be the first baseman. Dane Boatman behind the plate is catching. And Jake Schwartz is at third base. So it'll be Tiemann, Taberzi, Kufa, Weiser, Hart, and Costello, Reels, Boatman, and Schwartz to face the Gillespie Hurler. I believe that's Bryce Boos out there, right?
Boos.
The right-hander taking his final warm-ups, tossing it to Gavin Griffith. Looking at the defense for the Miners on the infield, it'll be Zach Reines at third, Tristan Wargo at shortstop, Colton Batima at second base, Rice Hoseman at first base. In the outfield, Cameron Link is in left, Ryan Ubelt is in center, Chase Helvey is in right, and of course the battery mate, Bryce Boos and Gavin Griffith, and we're ready to get this one underway as Tiemann stands in on the right side and takes the ball outside. Sun is drenching this field today. Strike called, and the count goes 1-1. And we got to give a tip of the cap to the grounds crew. This turf is looking awesome. And they've done some work on the infield. I don't think it could be much better. Ooh, breaking ball stayed inside. And the count goes to 2-1 on Liam Tiemann, the junior center fielder. He kind of crowds that plate, gets that front foot a little bit closed, and it's almost on the line. Check swing, fouled it right back here, and the count goes 2-2. He likes to have that left foot, that front foot, crossing over the chalk line there.
Just a tad.
Yeah, he crowded the plate a little, if you will. Ready to take one for the team, I presume. 2-2 pitch, here it comes. A ground ball, a couple of hoppers, big hop to the second baseman. He'll plant, he'll throw, and he'll get the out at first. Good play there by Colton Batima. That took a big hop on him, and he stayed with it. 4-3 for out number one. That'll bring to the plate Aiden Taberzi. Taberzi, one of only two seniors on the starting lineup here for the Cavaliers. The other batting in the cleanup spot is Carson Weiser. Taberzi, playing second base, stands in from the left side, holds that bat high above his head. Looks at the first offering outside for ball one.
Heavy in the juniors is this Cavalier team, though.
They've got two seniors and seven juniors on the lineup, and they say, oh, breaking ball comes right in. That was nasty. Yeah, and these juniors, they said they played together. What do they call that team? The Mud Dogs? Is kind of like a select team that they've been, I guess by the time they started school, they've been on that team. This breaking ball stays way outside, and the count goes to 2-1 on Taberzi. Henry Kufa, the shortstop, waits on deck. Cavaliers decked out in their white over white uniforms, red numerals, blue lettering. Kind of reminds you of the Dodgers. High and away, count goes to 3-1. Three balls, one strike, nobody on, one out. In the top of the first here at Gillespie High School. Pitch on the inside corner. He fights it off. A little ground ball to second. Going to be a close play at first, and he legs it out. Good job there by Taberzi. And give credit for Batima getting to the ball as it was up the middle. Made the backhand stab, but just couldn't get enough on the throw.
Yeah, that 4/5 hop, you pretty much know you're not going to get him at first base.
I don't know what they're going to give him, but I'm going to give him a single.
Hit. Yeah,
no,
there's no
doubt
way
about
it.
No doubt about it. So with one on and one out, that'll bring Henry Kufa to the plate. He's looking to bunt the runner over. Looks at the ball outside. Pulls back. It's 1-0. Kufa, where's jersey number 2? He steps out, checks down there with his coach, Mr. Borgini, see if he has any words of wisdom through the signs. Catcher says, I think I better go out and talk to my pitcher. He's having trouble seeing my glove with that breaking ball. It's one thing to throw a breaking ball, entirely another one to be able to locate it.
Got to have it where you want it.
So here we go with a 1-0 count on the number three hitter, Henry Kufa. Taberzi gets a short lead down there first. He's looking. He'll take a couple more steps with a secondary lead and then hold up. His strike one comes in. That was the breaking ball that was located right where he wanted it. Bryce Boose, only a sophomore. He'll come to the stretch. Now to the plate. Whoa, way outside. Gets away from the catcher and down to second goes Taberzi. That will be ball two on the batter. The count will go to 2-1. And now with the runner in scoring position, Cooper wants to see if he can get one through the infield to the outfield. Speaking of the outfield, over in right field, playing rather shallow. Center and left playing a wee bit deeper. Left fielder playing deepest of all three outfielders. Here's the pitch in the hole between third and short. It gets out to the outfielder too quickly, so the runner will not be able to score. It's going to be runners on the corners thanks to Henry Kufa's one-out single. He'll be perched down there at first, Taberzi at third. I like the way he fought that one off.
Good piece of hitting. Runner, though, stopped, thinking, gotta make sure it gets through, which...
Don't want to make that out at third base, even though they say don't make the first or the third. He didn't want to make the second one either. And so now with runners on first and third, the Cavaliers have something going here in the top of the first. Carson Weiser, senior left fielder, he stands in, gets those feet set. Now his is a little bit more of an open stance as he's looking to drive that runner in from third. Low and away for ball one. As we said, Weiser, one of only two seniors in the starting lineup for the Cavies. Coach Borgini with the signals down there at third. And here's the pitch. It's outside. And the count goes to 2-0. Catcher's going to go out and take another talk with his pitcher. Just not having good luck finding that mitt. So he goes out and gives him a closer look at it. He pats him on the chest. Says, okay, if you can't hit the glove, just hit that orange protector. I'll take care of the rest of it.
Now, Boose already 16 pitches.
Griffith back behind the plate. Weiser finishes his discussion with Coach Borgini. Runners on the corners, taking short leads. To the stretch goes Boots. And to the plate, just miss ball three, and he's in danger of loading the bases up with just one out. As we said, that flag is flying out in center field, and it's a southerly breeze, which means on this field it's blowing out to left. And I mean it's blowing pretty hard. Called strike on the outside corner. I like that pitch. He wanted a strike, but he didn't want to make it right over the plate.
Still got to make good pitches, especially when men on base.
Well, the middle infielders right now, they're looking to see if they can get a double play and get out of this inning. Boose would like any kind of an out without the runners advancing. Here comes the delivery. Ooh, got the call on the outside corner. And that went 3-2. He was nibbling and got lucky there. Three balls, two strikes, one out. What do you think? Start the runner at first or not? You want to gamble? Could run yourself out of a big inning. But it could be a two-run RBI here.
I think he'll go.
He's off. Line down the right field line. Into the corner it goes. Right fielder comes over. He makes the pickup, brings it back into the infield. They hold the second runner up at third. But it's an RBI single by Carson Weiser as he laced that 3-2 pitch down the right field line and drove home Aiden Taberzi with the first run of the game. on the play. Henry Kufa moves over to third. So one out, one in, two on. And that'll bring up Ryan Hart, the junior hurler today. He looks down at the signals. I like that. Both base runners turn and watch the third base coach give the signals. Now everybody's on the same page. Wide open stance for Hart. He's really got that foot in the bucket. Now he steps in as the pitch goes on the outside corner. So it looked like he had the foot in the bucket, but as soon as the pitch was delivered, he brought that left foot up and put it straight ahead.
Kind of uses it as a trigger to get ready.
He's set, waving that bat gently above his head. Batting from the right side. Now a pickoff attempt at first. Nope. They got him, had him in a pickle, and the first baseman could not make the catch, and so the runner advances. There's runners on at second and third. That's what you call a play that may not go down as an error, but it could be costly. Takes away the double play now with runners on first or on second and third, excuse me. Only one out, one run already in. Ryan Hart waiting at the dish. Whoa, inside, stayed inside. If he was a religious man, he was probably saying a quick little prayer there. Looked like that was headed for the thigh. It missed the thigh. It missed the plate as well. 1-1 is the count. Outside corner for strike two. So one ball, two strike count. With runners on second and third and one out, one run already in. Bryce Boos, if you've got a strikeout pitch, now would be the time to use it.
He definitely needs a strikeout. Try and get out of this inning.
He gazes in. Now he's set. Now he brings it. Outside corner, held up just in time. And the count goes even at 2-2. Hart was tempted, but he laid off of it at the last second. Two balls, two strikes, two runners on, one runner in, one out, top of the first. Breaking ball, stayed just a little bit inside. I like that call. Didn't get it exactly where he wanted it, but it wasn't anything the batter could handle. So here we go now. Three balls and two strikes with runners on second and third. Here comes the pitch. Outside, the open base is now filled as Hart draws a one-out walk. That will load the bases for Colton Costello. Costello, a right fielder, the junior, will stand in from the right side.
Cavaliers looking for this big possible inning here.
There's two batters in a row that they got those pants hiked up like the old guys used to do. Showing those leggings. Costello swings and misses. Strike one. I guess I may be old school. I sure like that look myself. I never cared for the pant legs that were drooping down over the top of the shoes.
Totally agree.
Inside corner for strike two.
That time his breaking ball was where he wanted it.
Exactly where he wanted it. There was no way that Costello could do anything with it. So he let it go by, and he'll try this one. 0-2, swing and a miss, strike three. Two down as Costello goes down swinging. And the runners on first and second and third. It's up to Zach Reels to see if they can make this one-run inning a multiple-run inning. As the number seven hitter, Reels, stands in and looks at that pitch for a called strike once again, painted that inside edge. The hitter's given up on it. He's more concerned with, I don't want it to hit me.
Yeah, it's going at the batter and then breaking late.
Don't blame him at all. Now a fastball on the outside corner. I don't think he was ready for that one. He was looking for another breaking ball and got the express, and it went right by him. 0-2. Right, Boos and the Miners one pitch away from getting out of this inning with only one run scored. Here comes the delivery. It's outside for ball one. 1-2. Two out, Bases loaded. One run in for the Cavaliers here in the top of the first. Real seeing if he can do some more damage. Holds that bat high above his head. Now steps in. Swings. Ground ball. Interference on the runner going to third. He was trying to get it to go between his legs. But on the interference play, it will be out number three. And so the Cavaliers are going to score one run on three hits. They're going to leave three on base. As we go to the bottom of the first, it is Carlinville 1. Gillespie coming to bat on WSMI. The Gillespie Miners have to have had a sigh of relief. Yes, they gave up one run, but Carl, that could have been so much worse.
So much worse, you're right, as the Cavaliers kind of squandered an opportunity. They had second and third with just one out and did not get another runner home. And that's kind of like you're glad to score that first run because that's a big run anyway, but you know you left a little on the plate there for sure.
Well, you got to give Bryce Boost credit because it was like he didn't have his good stuff at the start, but a couple of trips to the mound by the catcher got him settled in. And a lot of times the catcher, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. And I noticed that second time, as before he walked away, he tapped him on the chest. Just like, okay, buddy, you got this. And that little vote of confidence may have been what got him through the inning. In any event, Carlinville only scored one. Gillespie coming to bat. It'll be Brian Ubelt to lead things off. Tristan Wargo batting second. Cameron Link batting in the three slot. Gavin Griffith batting cleanup. Zach Reinisch in fifth. Bryce Boost in sixth spot. Bryce Honesman batting seventh. Colton Boltima batting eighth. Chase Helby batting ninth. First pitch swing. Pop up back here. Catcher coming back. And it lands just out of play for strike one. Looking at the Cavaliers' defense, they'll have Jake Schwartz at third, Henry Kufa at short, Aiden Taberzi at second, Zach Reels at first. In the outfield, it's Carson Weiser in left, Liam Thiemann in center, and Colton Costello in right. The battery is Ryan Hart, who throws the ball, and Dane Boatman catches a called strike.
Ryan's 4-0 on the year, and when your team's only 6-2, that means you're basically the ace.
You've done your job, that's for sure. Two pitches called right in there for strikes, and this one goes a little upstairs. I think he wanted to see if the batter would chase it. And Ubelt, despite two strikes, did not. Now the 1-2 pitch to the plate. Oh, nice off-speed pitch. And that hurt up here, kind of wrenched my back just watching.
That's why we don't play ball at our age anymore, that's for sure.
That was an awesome pitch. I mean, whew, I didn't like that one. That's one of those where your Ubelt just tips his hat and says, you got me that time, buddy. I'll be back. But now it's Tristan Wargo, the sophomore, standing in. Wargo takes one up and away for ball one. I can't remember if and when the time ever occurred in the Gillespie history where there wasn't a Wargo playing.
Shortstop, usually, and that's where he plays, too.
I had his dad playing for me back in the 80s when I was coaching here, and he was a tremendous competitor then. He's been a tremendous competitor as a coach, very good success with the middle school basketball teams, and as I often tell him, he does a pretty good job of raising youngsters as well. Tristan has kept that bat on his shoulder, and he's looked at three pitches in a row, none of which found the strike zone. He's looking at the 3-0 pitch, and it's a called strike one. But it wasn't the pitch that he wanted. Black jerseys, white pants, black trim. Poked that ball into short right field. Second baseman's going out, cannot make the catch. What an effort there by Aiden Taberzi. He just simply could not make connections. And Wargo, with a little Texas leaguer, doesn't matter how hard or how soft it was hit, it goes down in the scorebook as a solid single. So Wargo is down there with a one-out hit, just as Taberzi had a one-out hit for the Cavaliers to get them started. It'll bring Cameron Link, the left fielder, to the plate. Link, a junior, stands in. Oh, big swing, but he couldn't connect. Strike one. He kind of looks like kind of a hitter that he just wants to crush that ball. He's not going to get cheated with his swings. Borgo taking a safe lead down at first. He's not going. Pitches outside. Boatman had to go out of his glove, but he kept it in front of him, so the runner didn't advance. And the count goes to 1-1. One out here in the bottom of the first. Miners trailing 1-0. Ryan Hart to the plate. Oh, the breaking ball had him fooled. And Cameron Link is now in the hole. 1-2.
Mr. Hart's made a couple people already in this game. The only two batters look bad on his breaking ball.
Well, I'm venturing to say that Link's not going to shorten up on that stroke either. He's going to go ahead and take a full cut. Ball goes high, and it's 2-2. Link, with a .417 average on the season, has a couple of home runs. If he gets one up in the air today,
yeah,
the wind special. Blowing out to left. Wargo dives back in as the throw over there is not in time. Hart to Reels to try to get Wargo out. Didn't work. Wargo dusts himself off, gets back, gets his lead, fake the run to second, pull back, and it's a swinging miss, strike three, second strikeout in the inning, two outs for the Miners. That's going to bring Gavin Griffith to the plate.
See if maybe Wargo does a little running now. Denton with the first batter after he reached.
Well, if he runs on a breaking ball, he could probably get there because that breaking ball is an off speed. It just is like it lays out there and tempts you. But then when you try to swing, there's nothing going on. Ooh, up and away, but a called strike. I like that. If you're going to have the strike zone consistent, make it a little bigger, and everybody will use those sticks.
Or aluminum, whatever they are now.
Yeah.
Kind of a multi of everything,
I was going to say,
they?
I don't think the wood bats are used much anymore. Except in the summer, they may have a wood bat league or a wood bat tournament. Oh, running into the fence there was Zach Reels. Somebody need to tell him there was a bit of a guardrail there in front of the dugout. He went charging after that ball. Couldn't make connections. Wargo will come back to first. Griffith wearing number 13 on a black jersey, orange numeral with a white trim. Waiting on the 0-2 delivery. Oh, this could be a good one. He can pick whatever he wants here. He goes low and away. Good stop by Dane Boatman, the catcher, as that one looked like it could be going through his legs and back to the backstop and Wargo to second, none of which happened. Boatman, good defensive catcher, saved a base there. Count of 1-2. Two outs. Pitch. Oh, called strike three. So three strikeouts in the inning for Ryan Hart. And despite the one-out single by Wargo, he's left stranded as the Miners do not score. One hit, no runs, one left on base after one inning of play. It's 1-0, Carlinville over Gillespie. You're listening to WSMI. Levi Uvelt back in the studio. He's turning the dials for us today. And, Carl, you know there's so many times where we announcers have been out in the cold and the wet and the wind, and the engineers back at the studio, they're so thankful that they're inside. Well, guess what, Levi? Today, I know you'd rather be out soaking up some sunshine, but doing a good job. Turning those dials, make it sound as good as possible, and that's a big task in itself. Carlinville in the top of the first. They had seven batters come to the plate. They plated one, stranded three. So it'll be the 8-9-1 hitters due up here in the top of the second for CHS, and that will be Dane Boatman, the catcher, leading off. He'll swing at the first pitch and foul it off to the right side. A couple of young ladies walking there behind the dugout. They're safe. Boatman in the 8th slot. Jake Schwartz in the 9th slot. Back to the top to Liam Tiemann as we play here in the second. This one's a little bit low in the dirt. Count goes to 1-1.
Oops. There it is. Bryce got lucky. They got through the inning for just one run. But he threw 33 pitches that first inning.
Yeah, well, and we talked about before the game how both these teams have a lot of pitchers they can go to, and that may be the case today. You know, you don't want to overwork him as the now the count goes to 3-1, I believe.
Yeah, those will
That's
do
in my head. They're playing with the lights out there on the scoreboard. Just got it straight. Now a foul back, and the count will go full. But as I was saying, when you have a number of pitchers that
it
you
helps.
Can use,
oh,
you
yeah.
don't have to tax them. And that's one thing I think coaches, the IHSA has set pitch counts. But I think coaches are probably even more strenuous about making sure they don't overwork their hurlers so that they'll be good next week as well as this week. And that's a problem. Swing and a miss. And Boatman is strikeout victim number two and out number one here in the top of the second. And I know the IHSA, you know, has put those pitch count rules in, and a lot of people say, well, I don't like it. But I think most of the coaches will tell you, we were already working on a pitch count of our own before this ever came about. Number nine hitter Jake Swartz turns away from a called strike, as that one was looking like it was coming right at that shoulder, and then broke at the last second over the inside corner of the plate. Here comes another one down the middle through the hole and into left field. As Swartz, batting in that number nine slot, found the hole between short and the third baseman. And that is the fourth hit of the game for the Cavaliers. And that'll put the number nine hitter on base, and that will bring the leadoff man, Liam Thiemann, who grounded out to second his first time up, will bring him up to bat with a runner on first and one out. To the stretch goes Boose. To the plate goes Boose. Good pitch, called strike. Boose seems like he's getting settled in better.
Seemed like that on his last two batters, too.
Yes.
He's pitching a lot more confidence.
One strikeout in the first, one strikeout here in the second. Pops this one up. Second baseman drifting back. Right fielder coming in. Right fielder says, I got it. Second baseman says, you can have it.
You bet.
Chase Helvey did a good job there of calling off the second baseman, knowing I'm coming in. You've got a difficult play going out.
Plus, you get beyond the lip of the grass there, you're going downhill, so you're not only you're running backwards and downhill a little bit, so yeah. It's really got to be the right fielder's ball if he can get to it.
Carl, at my age, I'm going downhill all the time.
Oh, so. We both are there.
That'll bring Aiden Taberzi to the plate. He singled and scored the only run of the game so far, batting from the left side, throw over to first, and Schwartz is back safely.
Bryce does look like he has a pretty good move to first.
Taberzi with the bat held high. Runner's going. Pitch is a called strike down to second throw, and he is out. Griffith with a perfect throw to the shortstop, Tristan Wargo, and so the runner is out, caught stealing. It will go 2-6 for out number three, and the Miners are out of the second inning unscathed. It'll be no runs, no hits, or one hit, no errors, nobody left on base. As he was thrown out at second, we'll go to the bottom of the second. Carlinville 1, Gillespie nothing. You're listening to WSMI. Ryan Hart steps back up on the mound, very confident young hurler, as Hart gave up a one-out single in the first, and then proceeded to get two more strikeouts, so he struck the side out, 3 Ks on the day for Hart. And that'll bring Zach Reinisch, the senior third baseman, to the plate. And he'll see the first one and swing and miss. I said he saw it. I'm hoping he saw it. Tell you what, he has a little trouble here with the way Wright's Hart's bringing it today. Reinisch, senior. A little defensive swing there, kind of taps that one foul and out of play. I'm hoping this screen is high enough that the foul ball straight back cannot get to my car. I'm closer to the middle school than I am to the baseball field. Let's put it that way. Pitch goes high for ball one to Reinisch. One ball, two strikes. Okay, out there in radio land, everybody raise your hand if you care where I park my car. Here we go. Swing and a miss. Catcher can't handle it. He'll step out, throw to first, and record the first out of the inning.
Ryan Hart. That's the only way he gets outs, isn't it?
He's masterful.
Four strikeouts.
He's masterful. Four outs, four Ks on the day.
He was much more efficient in his first inning, only 17 pitches. But I tell you what, Boos kind of made up for it in that second inning, 11 pitches.
Right.
That,
as we said,
that's
well,
a big
he,
difference from
once he got in his zone, and the old coach used to say, settled in. Once he settled in, things were pretty much went his way. Ball one to Bryce Boos.
And a caught stealing didn't hurt.
Yeah. Good defensive play by the catcher and the shortstop. As Boos takes a strike and the count goes to 1-1. Bryce doesn't even look back. He just saying to the umpire under his breath, just keep giving me those calls. Swing and a miss. Problem there was Boos didn't have a long enough bat. He thought that one was going to be over the heart of the plate, and it barely was on the outside edge. And in the same place, the next breaking ball is thrown, and it is a called strike three as Boos simply gave up on that one. And there was no way it was going to be a strike, but indeed it was. Caught looking for the second time today, the Miners striking out. Three others swinging strikeouts. Five Ks on the day, two up, two down. Number seven hitter Bryce Honesman to the plate. Honesman says, I'm not going to wait on it. He laces the one to second, but second baseman Aiden DeBerzy's right there. Makes the catch of the liner for the third out. So it's three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left for the Miners. We've played two, and it's Cavaliers one, Miners nothing. You're listening to WSMI. We head to the top of the third, a very rapidly played game here thus far, Carl, as we've only been playing about 30, 35 minutes already in the third inning. Good pitchers on the mound for both teams. One had a rough start, got over it. The other one, he hadn't had a rough spot hardly at all.
Yeah, really that first half of the inning by the Cavaliers as they loaded the bases up and scored the run was probably over half the time we've had.
Well, this is the guy right here that started it, Aiden DeBerzy. He singled and scored in the first, the only run of the game, batting from the left side. He looks at a called strike. Rocks, fires, ooh, outside corner, strike two. I could get a good look at that, and it didn't hit the white part of the plate. If it hit the plate, it hit the black part. And the good pitching coach will tell you that's exactly where I want you to put that ball. Now one inside, one outside. Where's it go? Down the middle, fouled back. DeBerzy a little bit late on that. Thank God for strong nets. As DeBerzy steps back in and waits for the 0-2 offering. Whoa! Almost untied his shoes. Low and inside. What's he got on? New Balance shoes there?
Hard tell.
Almost took the shoestrings right out of him. 2-1 pitch. 1-2 pitch.
Damn.
Ground ball to the pitcher. You know, soft tossed over to first. So it'll go 1-3 for the first out here. In the top of the third, DeBerzy's retired. He'll head back to the dugout. Henry Kufa will stand in. Kufa Jr., he got a single last time. He ended up being stranded at third. Boos gets the signal, brings it home. Foul back. Tell you what, the Cavaliers, if they like what they see, they're going after it. Some coaches say, oh, you need to take that first pitch. Other coaches say, that may be the best pitch you see. If it is, you better be swinging. 0-1, lined it up the middle. Second baseman can't get through it or to it as Baltima with a good try there just simply couldn't make connections. It goes under his glove for a one-out single. And so the Cavaliers, as they were in the first with a one-out single, as they were in the second with a one-out single. Easy for you to say.
Apparently.
New teeth. New teeth, I guess. And it's a one-out single here in the third. That will be base hit number 5 for CHS. And with one out, it'll bring Carson Weiser to the plate. Weiser, the left fielder, looks at a called strike on the outside corner. Big left fielder asks for time. Now he's ready. Rest that bat on his shoulder. Now he raises it up, waves it around, swings to the second baseman. Will they turn it? Nope. At first, he is out. At second, he is safe. The throw took the shortstop off the base, and so Kufa is safe at second base. However, Carson is retired, and it'll go 4-6-3, but it won't be a double play. How often do you see that?
Not very often. I was thinking out at second, safe at first,
well,
but it turned out your way.
Jeremy Smith is arguing that point right now. He's not going to win that argument.
I think, both runners are safe.
No, the umpire did call him out at first. He wasn't sure, so he stayed there. Now we're going to have an argument over here as Coach Bergini wants to say, hey, I think he was safe. The umpire definitely waited on the call, made an out call at first base. Then he turned and looked back at second and said, that one is safe. And I think he got the call right both ways, to be quite honest with you.
Well, he got an argument from both coaches.
Well, the guy at first base is not moving off the plate. Now he is. Weiser thought, well, if I can stay here, maybe they'll forget about me. But he is called out at first base for the second out. Kufa goes down to second, and he advances there as the throw pulled the shortstop off the base. And so with the runner in scoring position, Ryan Hart, who walked last time, stands in. Top of the third, inside pitch, high and tight, ball one. That may be my least favorite pitch of all. My grandson took one right on the edge of the helmet, caught him in the eye. Swelled up quite well. Woo. But needless to say, he's a toughie. He turned right around the next day. He came back to play. First pitch he saw, he swung at it and got a base hit. Swing and a miss, and the count goes to 1-1. Runner on second, two out. For the number 5 hitter, Ryan Hart. Now, Hart asked for and gets timeout. A little bit of a discussion down there, second base, between Kufa and Wargo. They're having a lot of fun. That's one thing about baseball. You do have some opportunities to
do a little chatty.
Yeah, have a little fun with some friends. Swing and a miss. Foul back. And Hart is in the hole, 1-2. A little late getting around on that one. So now, once again, Bryce Boos, one pitch away from getting out of the inning, unscathed with the number 5 hitter, Ryan Hart, who wants to drive that ball to the outfield and drive that run in. Here comes the delivery. Call strike 3 on the outside corner. He painted that one for the third out. And so the Cavaliers get one hit, score no runs. They leave one on base here in the third. They have stranded 4 on the day, but they lead 1-0. Carlinville over Gillespie going to the bottom of the third on WSMI. Levi Ubelt, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker. Carl DeBar alongside. Most of you don't understand, Carl is not only the color commentator, but he's also my supervisor. He's supposed to be in charge of keeping me in line. And Carl, so far, not a bad job.
Well, on a beautiful day like this, I thought you'd behave pretty well.
I don't know if I behave in any kind of weather, but anyway, we'll move on to the bottom of the third. Gillespie trailing 1-0. It'll be Colton Bultima up he'll take a called strike on the inside corner, and that's the way we get things going here in the bottom of the third. The number 8, 9, and 1 hitters due up for Gillespie here in the third. Swing and a foul back, and the count goes to 0-2. Anytime you get into the third inning and you're still facing a batter for the first time, you've been doing something right.
And Mr. Hart has been, well, striking people out at a very fast pace. Five already.
He has five strikeouts. This one's upstairs for 1-2. He faced four batters in the first inning, gave up a single, struck out the other three.
Those
faced three batters in the second inning, had two strikeouts and a line out to second. This pitch is high, and the count goes even at 2-2. Infielders haven't had a whole lot of work to do here.
They have not.
And this one, into left. It's high, but it's not going to have the depth as a leaping catch by Carson Weiser. That's one of those where I think he was playing the ball and forgot to play the wind, and at the last second made a lunging stab.
Yes, let's face it. That wind was moving that ball away from Weiser there out in left field. And seemed to have a beat on it all the way, but had to do a little extra jump there to make the catch.
Well, while it's up in the air, you don't notice how much that wind is moving it, but as it starts coming down, all of a sudden you realize, hey, wait a minute. Weiser makes a good adjustment there, made a good catch. This one's fouled back straight behind us. I'm listening to see if it hits in the street because it's going to have to bounce about four times before it'll get to my car.
It should slow up by then.
Somebody told me the other day, went swing and a miss. A beautiful delivery there, as that one was an off-speed pitch that left Helvey screwed into the ground. Now on the inside corner, it's a called strike three, and that man Hart is doing it again. He's got at least one strikeout in each of the first three innings, six Ks on the day for Ryan Hart. This will take us back to the leadoff hitter, Brian Ubelt. Ubelt is going to swing and lace that one into center. Center fielder looks at it, drifts back a little more, finally catches it almost over his shoulder. But in any event, the fly balls, which today are an adventure, but the Cavaliers' defense in the outfield has come up twice there with two good catches. And so it's a 1-2-3 inning for the Gillespie Miners here in the third. We've played three. Carlinville 1, Gillespie nothing. Going to the fourth when we come back on WSMI. We head now to the top of the fourth. 1-0 is the Carlinville lead. They got that run in the first inning as Aiden Taberzi with a one-out single went to second on a wild pitch, finally came home and scored the only run of the game thus far. We'll go to the 6, 7, and 8 hitters for the Cavaliers here in the top of the fourth. Colton Costello, strikeout victim his first time. Whoa, he was going to bunt one, but he had the bat on the home plate side, and the pitch came on the third base side. Luckily, it went right behind him. No harm, no foul, just a ball. And sometimes those can be difficult pitches because the natural instinct is to back away, and you'll back right into it. But he did a good job there. Thank goodness it was a breaking ball. This fastball is low and outside. Back to the screen. Zach Reels, he's starting a collection of baseball there. He's got two baseballs that he's retrieved from behind the home plate. This pitch comes in a little bit high, and when you're running all over the place, sometimes you don't get those calls on the high strikes or the ball that just wasn't quite there. He gets a call on that one as it paints the outside corner, and the count goes to 3-1 on Costello, who was a strikeout victim his first time up. He leads things off here in the top of the fourth, his Cavaliers leading 1-0. On the outside corner, and the count goes full. So Boost now has battled back from a 3-0 count. He's got the full count, but as you said, that's multiple pitches that he's been throwing today.
Well, he's climbing in that respect.
Topped up, down the third base line, and a good play there by Reines as he stayed with it. and it stayed just inside the fence to record the out for the first out of the top of the fourth. Give Zach Reinisch credit on the good play there. Kind of like you're playing in Candlestick. Some people say, what was Candlestick?
It's not swirling. It's not swirling, at least. And, you know, it could be different winds in different part of the parks there.
It is coming out of the south, basically, which means it's blowing out to left. Called strike one on Zach Reels. He bats here with one out in the top of the fourth.
Price has found that little control after falling behind 3-0 here.
Now that was quite a job of pitching to get the out after being behind 3-0. Now this one just misses outside, and the count goes to 1-1 on Zach Reels. He had the ground ball to shortstop that ended the first inning, an interference play as the runner going to third interfered with the play. Now a strike on the outside corner. Zach Reels in the hole, 1-2. Made contact his first time, wants to make contact here. Low and away, ball two.
And doesn't that play where the interference is, I'm not so sure there's a fielder in that spot. They might not make a play there, so it could have been a hit through or even an infield hit. So that's
a huge pitch play.
Oh,
laced right back up the middle. Center fielder coming in, but he's not going to get that one. On one hop, he'll field it. You know, with the rain that we've had, when that ball does hit the ground in the outfield, even though the grass is mowed very well, it's going to slow down very quickly. And Ubelt came in and got it on one hop and got it back in. But it's a one-out single, and this is the 4th inning that the Cavaliers have had a one-out single. And that will bring Dane Boatman to the plate. Sixth hit of the day for CHS. Ground ball to short. Steps on second. Fires to first. Double play is complete. Tristan Wargo did the job as he took that one to second base himself. Had only a couple three steps to go, and then he fires it on over to first for the double play to end the inning. And so it is one hit, no runs, nobody left on base. Cavaliers have stranded four, but more importantly, they've plated one, and they lead the Gillespie Miners 1-0 as we move to the bottom of the fourth. You're listening to WSMI. Sometimes you get carried away with the music in between innings, and when they play Sweet Caroline, you gots to like that, as they say. We move then to the bottom of the fourth. The Miners on the day have had one hit. That came back in the first inning, and the guy who got the hit was sophomore Tristan Wargo. Guess who's leading off here in the bottom of the fourth for GHS?
And Mr. Ryan Hart has owned this game so far, hasn't he, with six strikeouts.
Yeah, Mrs. Wargo's boy is going to start things off here in the bottom of the fourth. Ball just a little inside. Perhaps it was low as well. Tristan gets out there, takes a couple practice swings, adjusts his helmet. Now he's ready. Lifts that leg, drives that ball into left. Left fielder coming in a couple steps, makes the catch. Wargo put a charge into it, but the left fielder had him played perfectly. Weiser makes the catch, one out. I like the way he lifts that foot and drives right into that pitch. Weiser, though, played him perfectly there. As we said, the left fielder of the three outfielders is usually playing a little bit deeper today because of that wind. But it looks like right now all three outfielders playing rather deep for Cameron Link. And, well, they should. Link with a couple of home runs, batting over 400 for the year, and he takes ball one.
Homers and a 400 average. That's a guy you got to watch out for, correct? Oh, yeah.
I hate to make the comparison because he is no Jack Clark, but there's something about that raw power when he stands in there that you can tell he flexes that bat, he's ready to drive, and that breaking ball fooled him terribly there. Yeah. Just as I was trying to build him up,
yep.
The pitcher brings him back down. Ryan Hart with another masterful pitch, and it's 1-2. Hart still looking for his first strikeout of the fourth inning. He's got at least one in every one of the previous three. This one goes high, and the count goes to 2-2. Link, a strikeout victim his first time up, looks at ball three, and the count's full. Three balls, two strikes. Left fielder playing straight away. Center fielder playing straight away. Right fielder playing straight away. They're not favoring him much at all. Infield playing it pretty square as well. As the 3-2 pitch comes in to Link. Oh, that breaking ball got him again. As he was caught looking last time, this a feeble swing, and he goes back to the dugout saying, I should have made better contact. 7 Ks on the day for Mr. Hart. 2 down. Coming to the plate is Gavin Griffith.
Yeah, 43 pitches. That is not many.
Griffith swings and misses at the first one.
He's been pushing, you know, that perfect 10, 11 pitches per inning, even though he's got a lot of strikeouts, and that's hard to do.
Foul back for strike two. So just like that, Griffith is in the hole.
You know, a few of the miners did take that, go out to that first pitch and hit it to a second baseman and out to the outfield, and that's kind of helped Ryan Hart out to keep a very low pitch count.
That one a little bit high for 1-2. Here comes the next one. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number 8 on the day. Out number 3. The Miners go down 1-2-3. They loft a fly ball to left. And then 2 Ks swinging. And it's a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the fourth for Gillespie. No runs, no hits, no errors. They've had only one runner, and he was left on base. As we now go to the top of the fifth, Carlinville 1, Gillespie nothing.
Today's broadcast on WSMI brought to you in part by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. By the Shine Shop in Litchfield, auto cleanup with a difference. Call Rick Weatherford at 217-324-5040. By Carvanha Funeral Home and Ideal Cremations in Benel, Bunker Hill, and Gillespie. By Carlinville Area Hospital and Clinics, visit cahcare.com. And after the game, stop by Maverick Steaks and Spirits or the Ariston Cafe in Litchfield.
In a world where access to services has changed rapidly, we at Carlinville Area Hospital want you to know that we remain here for your rehabilitation needs. The Transitional Care Unit, formerly known as the Swing Bed Program, remains ready to meet your rehabilitation and IV antibiotic needs. We are here for you and are taking extra steps to keep you safe during your recovery. Please call us if you or a loved one have had a hospitalization and are in need of inpatient rehab. 854-3141, extension 272.
America's high school sports leader, WSMI FM 106.1.
Carl DeBar, there's an old saying in baseball that good pitching will beat good hitting most every time. I think we're seeing some of that today.
Seen a lot of it as Bryce got off to a tough start. But now you look at that one run, which was big to get that first run. But the Cavaliers' opportunity to score more there, they might ice the game if they played it a couple more.
Yeah, he got out of, a very difficult first inning. But since then, he's been lights out. As he faced 3 in the second, he faced 4 in the third, faced 3 in the fourth. We bat here in the top of the fifth. It'll be Jake Swartz, the number 9 hitter, to lead things off. He stands in and waits and waits, and he waited long enough. Ask for timeout. It's granted. Bryce Boose and Gavin Griffith, the battery, for the Miners today. First pitch outside. Now you have to start wondering, as you get to the fifth inning, all the pitches he's thrown, yeah. Is he starting to tire?
That was number 70. Compared to Mr. Hart with 46.
Well, that one looked like a pretty good pitch for number 71, as it's a called strike on the outside corner, and the count goes to 1-1. On the leadoff hitter here in the top of the fifth, Cavaliers leading 1-0 over the Miners, playing here at Gillespie High School. Oh, that was a nasty breaking ball. Came in right at him, and it broke so much it was on the heart of the plate when it crossed. I couldn't do that with a wiffle ball. Here comes the 1-2.
Yeah. Ooh,
oh, this one low and away, I guess. Or is the umpire probably or possibly shrinking the strike zone a little bit? Any event, 2-2 is the count on the number 9 hitter off the outside corner, and the count goes full. Liam Tiemann in the on-deck circle, the leadoff hitter for the Cavies, is Schwartz. Swings, and he fouled it off, but the catcher caught it. So that is a strike out for out number one here in the fifth. And the catcher, Gavin Griffith, showed the umpire, hey, I made a clean catch on that. And the umpire said, I agree.
But Batter did what he's supposed to do. He knew he had a little piece of it, and he took off.
There you go.
Half swing, called strike, I assume. Yep, on the appeal.
Tiemann went around for a strike one count. Now here comes the 0-1 delivery. As we play in the top of the fifth, Cavett's got a solid hit there down to third. Couple bounces and a good strong throw. Riney's put something on that, getting across the diamond to Holmesman. 5-3 on the putout. I'll tell you what, these batters, they know that this is a nice turf here, nice grass. Every time you say turf now, they think it's an artificial turf, which this is not. But they know that ball is going to bounce and slow down, so they're running hard to first and making a close play. But Riney's did a good job there. A little bit high to Taberzi for ball one. Aiden has scored the only run of the game. Swing and a miss. That was downstairs. He went after it. Took a 7-iron, probably need to use the driver. 1-1 is the count. Holds that bat high, shakes it, and then strokes one to the shortstop. 3-4 hops, high throw. First baseman off the base. And so hustling down there, Taberzi's going to be on first thanks to the error on the shortstop, Wargo. And so with two outs, Cavaliers have a base runner.
I believe that is our first miscue of the game. And it was a well-fielded play, but, boy, he just threw it to where the first baseman could not keep his foot on the base.
It's like he didn't bring it over the top enough. Henry Kufa singled in his first at-bat, singled in his second at-bat, stranded on the base both times. Called strike on the outside corner at the letters. Kufa steps out, looks down at Coach Bergini, gets back in. Very short lead at first. To say he went around for strike two. And Henry said, I was undecided all the way till it got in the catcher's mitt. I still wasn't decided. He's in the hole 0-2. Boost looking for his fifth strikeout of the day, his second time. All right, the batter called time. I thought it might have been a balk or something there. But umpire says timeout. The batter called time. And even though he's got his back to us, I can understand that with headphones on. Passed my hearing test on that one. Here it comes. Fouled straight back, and the count will remain 0-2. Henry Kufa, a junior, as are so many of the Cavaliers. It's a junior-laden team.
Upperclassmen for sure, because then you throw in two sophomores, or two seniors.
Two seniors and seven juniors on the field today for the Cavies. Runners going, swing and a miss, and that will be the third out. They throw on down to second, but there's no need to, as Kufa makes the third out of the inning, and he is strikeout victim number five. So once again, the Cavaliers got a runner on. This time, it was an error on the shortstop that got him to the plate. And, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I got an eye on you. Barry Wright is our home plate umpire, and he turns around and realizes he's in trouble because I will keep an eye on him. We have now gone through the top of the fifth, and it is 1-0 Carlinville. Gillespie coming to bat when we come back on WSMI. Time is getting short for the Gillespie Miners, Carl.
Yes, it is. And Ryan Hart is making it short for him quick because he struck out 8 batters and has looked sharp from beginning till now in this game.
He struck out at least one in every inning, and he starts Zach Reinisch off with a breaking ball that drops in for a called strike one. The Miners have but one hit on the day. That came back in the first. That lets you know what kind of a masterpiece Mr. Hart is putting together here today. Second pitch goes down low for a 1-1 count. Here comes the next one. Swing and a miss on an off-speed delivery. And that one he took just enough off that you're out in front of it, but there's no way you're going to make contact.
Yeah, it seems like he has two very old speeds there.
Ground ball to short. Oh, takes a bad hop. Grabs it, fires it. Going to be a little bit late getting there. And he's going to be on first. I guess that's going to go E6, but I'll tell you what. That was a tough one to handle. Tough one to handle. As Kufa, and of course Kufa knows what it's like to be up on that mound and have somebody behind you do that, as he is one of the pitchers as well. He's mad at himself, but in all honesty, it took a wicked hop.
Well, you can always change that to a hit, theoretically, if you need to.
I tell you what, I'm betwixt and between. I'm going to switch it. Who's going to question me? In the booth, it's going to go as a single, so that'll be the second hit of the day for the Miners. Now, I know one guy that's going to question, and that's the Hart family, because he's only given up one hit. This one, a shallow one going into center field. Center fielder comes in. He can't get there. And heading down to second base safely is Zach Reinisch, as that was a solid single up the middle for Bryce Boos. As he planted that one right in front of the center fielder. And so the first two have reached here in the bottom of the fifth for the Miners, trailing 1-0. They have runners on first and second. Nobody up. Nobody out. Bryce Honspan, the number 7 hitter, the sophomore who lined to second his first time up, he stands in with a runner in scoring position. That would be the tying run. Whoa! This one caught him on the arm, and he thought as it came in, I will take one for the team.
Slow breaking ball, the ideal one to get hit by. But all of a sudden, Ryan Hart has found himself in a world of difficulty.
Yeah, it's like Coach Borgini is out there now. It's like, hey, everything's been going so perfect.
Yep. And you know, his pitch count was, well, it was under 50 to start this inning, so yeah. That's not too much of an issue.
Yeah, I don't believe that should be the problem. He gets a little bit of a pep talk from Coach Borgini. I like the way Coach Borgini, pretty good little jog there getting off the field. You know what? He can still get out there and get going. And that speeds the game up when the coaches do that, you know.
Yeah. Got to have faster coaches. That'll speed up Major League Baseball.
Anyway, Coach Borgini is back in the dugout. Hart's back on the mound. Coach Smith screaming the guy on third.
There's a good pass.
As a call strike comes in, a breaking ball to Colton Belima, who flied out to left his first time. If he could get one out there to left this time, I believe that could play to run. Inside, and a count goes even. He was almost thinking, do I want to kind of step into that? And the last second he said, nah, I think not. One ball, one strike, bases loaded, nobody out. Pitch is down. Now Boltima can make him come to him. He can get the pitch he wants. If you don't like it, you got a 2-1 count. You got a ball or a strike to play with. Instead, he'll pop this one up. Catcher's trying to locate it. It's coming right back here. Can't get into my booth, right?
And possibly.
Count will go even. It could hit and come up right in my face. But anyway,
it's actually ricocheting just barely. It takes a perfect shot.
Though. Now you got me worried.
Okay, just letting you know.
Colton Biltema is back in the box. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Breaking ball just missed.
Well, no place
for him on the bases. Nobody out. So they can't take off too early. Whoa, this one is way inside.
Boy.
And on the walk, Biltema gets the RBI that ties this one up as everybody moves up 90 feet. And Zach Reinisch, who got on, we're going to say via the single, to lead things off, comes around to tie this one up. That'll bring up Helvey coming in from the left side up. Pitches in the dirt, didn't get far enough away, and Boatman does a good job of pouncing on it to hold the runner at third. That's Bryce Boost down there.
Well, a walk and a hit batsman, and then Ryan Hart went in there, 8 strikeouts and no walks, so his control's been a big issue for him in this inning.
It's as though he's in a different gear than what he'd been in. See if he can bring it back now. This one will be popped up on the left side. Looks like it'll be a fair ball. Shortstop. Whoa! Snow cone catch there by Henry Kupa. He gets the job done. And he thinks, wait a minute, after I let that first one get away from me, there's no way I can miss this one.
So I heard the ump call the infield fly, so he's going to be out either way.
He was out anyway. Yep, everybody's going to advance on their own. And that will be the first out of the inning. Okay, a pinch runner down at second base will be Daniel Wolber. Wolber, the sophomore, will be down there running for Honespin, right? Wolber for Honespin at second. To the top of the order we go, and Brian Ubel with a chance to give the Miners the lead for the first time today. Pitch inside, just inside the left field line, down into the corner it goes. One run scores, second run scores. Third runner is going to stop at third base. It'll be a two-run double for the leadoff man, Brian Ubel, just out of the reach of the leaping third baseman, Jake Swartz. He did all he could, but could not make the connection. And so it is the fourth hit of the game for the Miners, the biggest hit of the game, a two-run double for Brian Ubel.
No doubt about it. Biggest hit so far in this game. The Miners take the lead for the first time. The Cavaliers now can look back at that first inning and say, wow, we should have scored more runs at the opportunity.
Well, we said time was running short for the Miners. Now we can say the same. Now a ball out into right field. Right fielder coming in. He's going to make the catch. Runner at third is going to take a couple steps toward the plate, and then he'll go back. Good catch out there by Colton Costello for the second out of the inning as Wargo flies out to the right fielder. So now with runners still on second and third, 3 runs in, the Miners have taken a 3-run lead, or 2-run lead, excuse me, 3-1 lead, a 2-run lead, spit it out, Coach. Cameron Link is the 8th batter to bat here in the bottom of the 5th.
Definitely behooves Ryan Hart to get back in his groove now.
Well, if he can hold it right here, then it's a base runner and a big one, and you're tied back up. But if the Miners score a couple more here, that will dig the hole that much deeper for the Cavaliers. Got to give Coach credit, Borgini. He had faith in his pitcher to stay with him. Oh, and he has a nice breaking ball inside. Swing and a miss, and the count is 1-1 on Cameron Link. Link, who's been a strikeout victim his first 2 times up, has the 1-1 delivery coming his way, and it drops low. And the count goes to 2-1. Biltema was third. Ubel is at second. Ball goes low and the count goes to 3-1 on Link. 3-1 pitch. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. He was under that one. Perhaps he wanted it too bad. Or should I say too badly?
Well, he wanted to kill it.
I think that's it. He wanted to stall that one. Here it comes. Swing. Popped up. Right side. Over in front of the dugout. Catcher. Oh! The wind drifted that one back, and the catcher overran it. He's disgusted with himself. He thought, I should have had the third out there. And so, Cameron Link gets new life. As the count will remain full, two on, two out, 3-2 count, bottom of the fifth, Miners have plated three. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number nine, is that?
Nine was the big one.
Nine strikeouts,
yep.
Gets the Cavaliers out of the bottom of the fifth, but not until Gillespie comes up with three runs. We'll move to the top of the sixth. Miners with a 3-1 lead now. You're listening to WSMI.
At Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, you'll find folks who have been doing it right since 1982 at the same place, owned by Dwayne Garrell. They give free estimates and complete insurance work on all makes and models, foreign and domestic. Garrell's also does mechanical work, heaters, tune-ups, brake work, and starting and charging systems. Time to have your AC checked out. Stop in at Garrell's today at 613 East St. John in Litchfield. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. They do it right.
Never get stuck with bad equipment again. Hillsboro Rentals' complete line of equipment will help you get the job done. From remodeling to clearing debris, Hillsboro Rental has what you need. If you need it, rent it. Hillsboro Rental, next to the underpass in Hillsboro. Call 532-6751.
WSMI FM 106.1, America's high school sports leader.
There is no clock in baseball. Sometimes what you have to be is patient. And I think the Miners have proved their patience finally when they come through with their second and third look at the pitcher, Ryan Hart. They were able to make some things happen. They had two or three hits, scored three runs in the inning, and take a 3-1 lead here into the top of the sixth. For the Cavaliers, it'll be 4, 5, and 6 due up. Wiser at the plate takes strike one.
Also, the walk and the hit batsman, so you knew Hart was not in his groove at the beginning of that inning, and that turned into the big inning for the Miners so far.
So many times when you watch these high school games, it's one inning. Just one
Absolutely.
Inning where something happens, the wheel comes off the wagon, or however you want to call it. Now a stroke into right center field, going to be a leadoff hit for Carson Wiser. Tell you what, I like the way he went down and got that one. Little inside-out swing, laced it over the second baseman's position into right center for a leadoff single. And so trailing by two, the Cavaliers have the tying run to the plate, and that's what we said about holding it
long.
To three runs there.
Yes. Hart got back in the groove and got out of that inning. Otherwise, yeah, two more runs would have made it look really tough to come back from.
Now Hart has the opportunity to do something about the situation himself. As he stands in, Ryan walked in the first, was left stranded at first, looked to strike three to end the third. Bats here with one on and nobody out in the top of the sixth. Whoa, that one's behind him, goes back to the screen. To second base goes Carson Wiser.
Man, Boos has done that a couple of times, hasn't he? Kind of lucky he hasn't hit the batters. They don't come out.
Yeah, Coach Smith wants to have a talk with him. I don't know. Wants to see if he is tiring or what here. Was that a mix-up or were you hurt? I think that's what they're checking to see. Did he pull something? He's requested some practice throws just to find out if he is okay, and evidently he's not.
Well, we're going to have a
Coach
pitching
Smith,
change just like
Coach
that.
Coach Smith takes the ball from him. taps him on the chest and says, good job, young man.
See who warms up here. Now, I don't know if that's still a high school rule, too. Does he get as many warm-ups as he wants because the pitcher came out on an injury?
Colton Voltima is taking the throws right now. Yeah, I would think he would get unlimited throws. Okay, so Voltima's coming in. Who's going to second? We shall see here. As the book is complete on Boose, he went 5-plus innings. He's responsible for the runner on second. Rich, so he cannot lose the game.
He can only win the ball game, officially.
And what did he give up? That would have been...
sixth or seventh.
Five. Six. That was an error. Seven hits.
Yep. Almost gave up a hit every... There's always one out, and then he gave up a hit.
Yes,
every inning he did that.
That was the M.O. for him all the way through. Seven hits, gave up one run, had five strikeouts. One walk, is that it? I only have one walk for him.
And how many strikeouts you say?
I had him down for five.
That's what I did, too. So probably accurate. He ends up throwing 87 pitches, so his day was about done anyway, Gary. And if he kept getting in trouble, I think it would have been done no matter what.
Well, I think
they didn't like how he threw that pitch, and then he didn't seem like he could warm up again. So
And the fact that it is a two-run lead, and the man at the plate represents the tying run. And that man is Ryan Hart, the opposing pitcher, who gave up those three runs in the last half inning. He's wanting to see if he can get at least one of them back right here with a runner on first. Breaking balls, he calls strike. Hart walked in the first, looked at strike three to end the third. Bats here in the sixth with one on and nobody out. Voltima brings it. Swing and a miss. Tell you what, if he's starting that ball over the middle of the plate, getting the batter to think it's coming into the zone, and then it's breaking out to the outside corner or beyond, as that time Hart just simply couldn't catch up with it. This one, another one, and he reaches out and fouls it back. He had the right idea. I call it the old Alvin Dark play. Used to play for the Giants when they were in New York years ago. He said, if you take two strikes, then you take it to right. Shorten that swing, poke it out there to right.
Ooh, got
swings
him.
And misses. Instead, for a strikeout. And that will be the first out.
No, it was that time he came inside with a lot more heat. He'd been throwing that, like you say, breaking ball. Kept breaking off the plate off against him. And came in high and tight that time.
Yeah, if you swing at that, you're lucky if it doesn't hit you if you go diving into it. So with one on and one out, that'll bring up Colton Costello. Costello struck out in the second. He popped out to the third baseman. He takes strike one. Again, that breaking ball that's painting the outside corner. Voltima.
Well, see if he stays that pattern and throws another one there.
Another junior out there on the mound for the minors. He brings it.
He did. Didn't get the call. But
must have been a little bit low.
But he's staying with his pattern, that's for sure.
Because it sure looked like it was over the boundaries of the home plate. But anyway, the count goes to 1-1. Runner out there on second is Carson Weiser. Whoop, this one goes through the catcher's legs, and the runner will go on to third. I don't think you can blame Gavin Griffith on that one. He did all he could. It went through the five hole, but just scooted by. Happens in hockey as well, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, that'll make the count 2-1. We've got runner on third with one out playing here in the top of the sixth. runner on third trying to disconcert the pitcher. He didn't, as that is a called strike, and the count goes to 2-2. Two balls and two strikes on Colton Costello.
See if he goes with a high, hard one inside.
The junior right fielder standing in. Here he comes. Oh, down the middle. Caught him looking for his second strikeout. That is the seventh strikeout of the game for Miners pitching. And with two outs, that's going to bring up Zach Reels. As Reels wants to try to make sure that leadoff single is not spoiled. So he wants to bring that runner in from third, make it a one-run game if he can. Here comes the pitch. Strike one. Let's say he did go on it. Reels, who was out on a fielder's choice interference play in the first, singled and was part of a 6-3 double play in the fourth. Bats here in the sixth with two outs, a little dribbler. Third baseman coming in quickly, takes a hop, tries to throw. It's too late. Runners in. Little dribblers, all it was, down the middle of the right or left side of the infielder. Shortstop had no chance coming in. Third baseman tried to cut it off, made the play, but it was too late.
Big run, though, for the Cavaliers.
Makes it a 3-2 count.
Might have a substitute runner.
Coach Borgini is going to have, is that Connor Strutner?
14 number.
Connor Strutner, a junior, comes in as the pinch runner for Reels.
So that was a big run, even though it doesn't tie the game. It definitely gets it to that one-run deficit.
Well, now Dane Boltman stands in, and he's the go-ahead run. Oh, throw over to try to pick him off. It's one of those things where I'm not too much for that, because that ball goes down the right field corner, and with two outs, you'll put the man in scoring position. Leave him stranded there. Concentrate on the hitter. That's the guy that can hurt you. Here comes the pitch. A little bit low.
Saying more bad things happen when you try to get that free out, huh?
Yes.
They do sometimes. You're right. If you put him in scoring position, then you're pitching different to the batter.
Swing and a miss. Concentrating on a hitter, and it counts 1-1.
You also lose that potential force play. Might be the only easy out to make.
Yep. Especially in a two-run game that can be a one-run game that can now tie the game with that runner. You got to put wow way outside, and the count goes to 2-1. Well, the Cavaliers have plated one here in the top of the sixth. They draw to within one, but with two outs, it's a 2-1 count on Dane Boltman as runner on first. A very short lead, little bit low for ball three. Strutner, the runner down there at first. Now here's a situation where if you walk this guy, you're giving him a free base and putting that runner in scoring position. You want to bring it, but you don't want to put it down the middle of the plate. Two-hopper, three-hopper off the shortstop's glove and into short center field, and everybody's going to be safe. That's one of those that you've got to gobble up. No two ways about it. You've got to gobble up. Well, in the last half inning, we had a walk and a hit batsman. Helped to Miners to score a run. Now here we have an error. Okay, we had a pinch runner at first. 23, is that?
I believe so.
Noah Byatts?
See if he turns. Well, looks like a 3 for sure.
23. We'll call it. It's Noah. So Noah Byatts down there at first. Strutner at second. Two out for the number nine hitter, Jake Schwartz. Schwartz looks at the ball way outside.
So tying run reaches, and now the lead runs at on base.
Yeah, so Batima came in and had a couple of quick strikeouts. Now a single and an error. There's two runners on. And a ball one count to the number nine hitter, Jake Schwartz. He pops this one up. They'll look at it, but it'll go out of bounds just across the fence into somebody's backyard.
And of course, the hit was a C9, little grounder in between third and short, which is they could field but had no chance of throwing the runner out.
As I look at the scorebook, it looks like a line drive.
Yeah, I know it does. You've got to have those sometimes.
Gia's got to get some breaks now and then. Now one back up the middle. Wargo's going to stay on this one. He'll grab it. He'll step on the base. The force out will end the inning, but not until the Cavaliers come up with one more run. And that'll be 3-2. Gillespie with the lead going to the bottom of the sixth. You're listening to WSMI.
Are you worried about your loved ones or afraid they aren't receiving the care they deserve? Hi, I'm Chris Cox, administrator for Montgomery Nursing and Rehab Center, here to talk to you about taking the next step towards finding the right place for your loved ones. Our friendly and professional staff is dedicated to making sure your loved ones receive exceptional care while feeling right at home. We are now fully open to the public for visits, and we encourage you to come see us at Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in South Hillsboro and see why we're the home with heart. Give us a call at 217-532-6126.
When the end of life draws near, the process of planning a funeral can sometimes provide comfort to those immediately involved. It also helps family members come to accept the reality of the situation and better prepare for what's lying ahead. At Plummer Funeral Home, we are here only to serve. We do not pass judgment, and we'll do our very best to fulfill your individual wishes, whatever they may be. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106.1.
Levi Ubel, he's the man back in the studio turning the dials, bringing the sounds to you, doing an outstanding job, young man. I'm Gary Boker alongside Carl DeBar. We're just having a good old time watching some old-fashioned high school baseball. It doesn't get a whole lot better than this, does it?
Not at all. A 3-2 ball game here going into the minors, or seventh inning, correct?
Bottom of the sixth.
Mm-hmm. The seventh. So Cavaliers down their last chance, but do the miners add on here? Because this one-run lead is pretty scary when all it takes is one big mistake on the defense and a guy can circle bases.
Okay, we got a new hurler in the lineup for the Cavaliers, and that's going to be Henry Kufa. So Henry Kufa is going to take over for Hart here in the bottom of the sixth. Let me see. Can you find Hart out there at shortstop?
Can't find him right off the bat.
I'm going to bet they just switched positions. He won't turn his back, but I think that's the case. So Kufa's coming in the sixth. Five innings in the book for Hart. Gave up three runs. First pitch is low for ball one to the only guy who didn't get a bat in the bottom of the fifth, and that's Gavin Griffith hitting in the number four slot. He's been a strikeout victim twice. Now this one's a ground ball to short. Shortstop stays with it as it goes down, and he kept his foot on the bag, and the out is recorded. It'll go 6-3, and as you said, Kufa had a little bit of trouble there. His feet was spreading out. It was almost like he was going to do the splits. But he righted himself in time, made the good throw over there. Now, wait a minute.
Well, that's Tversky, actually.
That's Tversky out there.
Yeah, he went from second to short.
I'm sorry, Tversky. Give credit is due. So Aiden is out there now.
Give Kufa some credit. He made the pitch. But, yeah, that was a good play of Aiden Tversky for the Cavaliers there.
And so
I didn't think he'd get him.
When he slipped, I thought that was trouble. Breaking ball right in over his head. And the count evens up at 1-1 on Zach Reinisch. Reinisch struck out to lead off the second inning, and then he singled and scored in the fifth inning. Now he swings and misses, and he's in the hole 1-2 here in the bottom of the sixth. Well, the miners have only had three or four guys come to the plate in every inning except that last inning when they went wild, sent eight to the plate, scored three, have taken a 3-1 lead. Cavaliers came back with one in the top of the sixth to make it 3-2. That's where we stand here in the bottom of the sixth. Swing with a feeble swing. And Reinisch is a strikeout victim for the second out of the sixth inning. That is the 10th strikeout of the game.
First for Mr. Kupa. Henry gets his first.
Kupa picks up his first, yes. And so with two outs, that'll bring up Bryce Boos to the plate. Boos looked to strike three in the second, singled and scored in the fifth. Bats here with two outs in the bottom of the sixth and fouls the first pitch off. Boos, who thought for the longest time that he might be the losing pitcher today, now is in line to be the winning pitcher if the Miners can hold on to this 3-2 lead. They've got one more out here, and then they've got to get three outs. That pitch was outside. The count evens at 1-1. Looking ahead to the Cavaliers, they'll have the top of the order due up in the top of the seventh, trailing by one at this time. Called strike, and the count goes to 1-2 on Bryce Boos. As he's trying to see if he can get some two-out magic going here, Kupa comes in relief of Ryan Hart, who gave up only four hits but three runs and had nine strikeouts. This one, a ground ball up the middle. Nobody's going to get to that one. As he simply stroked that one back from whence it came. A single right up the middle for Bryce Boos. Okay, so we've got Taberzi moved to short.
Yep. Find out where Mr. Hart went to.
Hart went
He's
to third.
He's at third.
Okay,
yes.
I'll let you keep track of that.
So Jack Schwartz went to second. And Taberzi himself went to short, so... And we already seen him make a great play at short.
So who'd you say is the second now?
Second now is Jack Schwartz. He went from third to second, and Mr. Hart went from pitching to third.
Ball
base.
Low.
So we got him out, at least for right now. They'll probably change it all later.
You call him Jack, I call him Jake.
Is it Jake? Yeah.
I don't know.
I had it as Jack, but I'm not sure which.
Anyway, it's Mr. Schwartz's little boy.
Yes.
We know that. All right, now with a one ball count on Honesman, Coach Bergini walks to the mound and he walks back. Where was that jog we were talking about a while ago? Well, I'll tell you what, right now he is into this game and he's not worried about getting off there fast. He wants to give his pitcher time to let it soak in what I just said to him. And so he takes his time going back to the dugout. Bryce Honesman, big sophomore, hitting .364 coming into the game. Lined out to the second baseman his first time out. Took one for the team as he was hit by a pitch. Runner going into the dirt. Catcher can't come up with it. It's a stolen base. Down in scoring position now is Boos. And that could be a big run for the Miners.
It could be indeed.
Coach Smith barking out instructions. He knows it could be a big run for the Miners. He wants to see if Honesman can drive him home. Inside. The count goes to 2-1.
Take care of the batter. Your problems are gone.
Kupa from the stretch to the belt to the plate. Oh, nice
oof.
Pitch.
A little extra oof on that one.
Mustard on that hot dog. Evens the count at 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Bottom of the sixth. Swing and a miss. I must have had my count wrong. I looked up there and saw 2-2. Must have been 2-1. It's 2-2 now. I don't know what I missed, but anyway, we'll do it all over again. It is really 2-2 now. I promise. The pitch in the dirt. Evidently, there was a ball that I had called a strike because that is now ball four. That will be the second walk given to the Miners today. The first one for Henry Kupa. And that will put Holmesman down at first. And leaves Boos at second. And brings Boltima to the plate. So he'll take ball one.
Boltima looking to probably close this game out, so he would earn a save for sure.
He flied out to left his first time, walked and was stranded at third last inning. Bats now with two outs here in the bottom of the sixth. Outside and high, says the umpire. Well, I found out one umpire. I don't know who the other one is. But the one behind the plate is Barry Wright. To call him a veteran umpire would be...
Ooh. Almost hit him there.
An understatement. That was inside. Lucky yeah. He didn't have a big belt buckle on.
If he had his shirt out a little more, I think it would have caught it. And that's the perfect way to be hit.
Okay.
Just a shirt.
Boltima looks in. Waits for that pitcher to bring it to him. It is low. And the count goes to 3-1. With runners still on the first and second, Boos is down there second. Holmeson is at first. There's two outs now. As Kupa is trying to get out of the inning without giving up a run. Cavaliers trailed by two. They got one of those back. Now...
Oh, boy. That was a unique...
They're going to call it a balk.
I think you have to, don't
you? Yeah. I thought maybe the wind blew him out there for a minute. Yeah. He kind of...
He did a circle and didn't throw the ball anywhere.
In any event, it moves both runners up, and I don't see Coach Borgini coming out of the dugout to question it.
No, that was... He wanted to throw the ball, and no one was there at the base. So he just had to hold it, and, of course, that's not allowed.
Well, Taberzi comes in to talk to his pitcher, and he tells him, don't worry about those guys
yeah,
on the base.
True.
Just take care of the guy at the plate. And we'll go in and get some runs. Here comes the pitch.
And
oh!
That's what he has to do. But he's a strikeoff, too. He thought it was strike three.
That makes it 3-2. Oh, well, it's been a long day, but it's really not been a long day. It's been a very rapidly played game, a well-played game. Now there's strike three.
He held on.
And so... Good job there by Boltman to hang on to that one for the third out of the inning. 11th strikeout of the game for the Miners. But now we'll go to the top of the seventh. And it is Gillespie 3, Carlinville 2. Don't go away. We'll be back on WSMI. Hold on to your hats. Well, you got to hold on to your hats with the win today. We're into the top of the seventh. The Miners have a 3-2 lead, and Carl, refresh me, what are their most difficult three outs to get in the game?
The last three, I
the
do believe.
The last three, and it's and a top of the order for the Cavaliers.
Especially the last one.
Here we go. The Cavaliers need one run to continue this game. The Miners need three outs to win this game. Boltima. Tatima called strike one.
Colton Boltima had two strikeouts quick, but got in a little jam last inning. Let's see if he can get these first outs.
Difficult to get the final outs of the final inning. Now it's going to be a big hopper to the shorts or to the third baseman. Good grab, good catch, good stretch there by Holmesman as they retire Tiemann for the first out. That was just a good play all the way around, Carl.
Yeah, there was nothing else he could do but wait for that hop. He got it, and he got rid of it as quick as he could, and then a great stretch at first really saved it because it was bang-bang down there.
Could that be quarterback's arm coming into play there?
It was a good arm.
Good throw and a really good catch and stretch by Bryce Holmesman to retire the first batter. Now pitches low to the number two hitter, Aiden Taberzi. Taberzi, who singled and scored the first run of the game for the Cavaliers, grounded back to the pitcher and reached on an error, takes a strike on the outside corner, and the count goes to 1-1. Miners need a out here. Cavies need a base runner here. Swing and a miss. Tell you what, Baltima brought a little bit with that one. The lefty, Aiden Taberzi, wanting to get on base any way he can here with one out. Oh, swing, foul ball, catcher, can't catch it, but it caught him. Coach Smith comes out to check on him, and he waves him back in disgust. Mm. He's not worried about getting hurt. He's ticked off that he didn't catch it to get the out.
Yeah.
That's what you call a competitor.
He tried to smother that.
We'll do it again with two strikes on Taberzi as Boltima looks in, gets his sign, brings it outside corner, just missed. They've got one and two. I've got two and two. I think the umpire just stuck up four fingers, two on each hand. So I'm going to go with that. Defensive swing, as that was coming in right on his hands, he fouls it off over in front of the first base dugout. And so it is one ball or two balls and two strikes on Aiden Taberzi, the number two hitter in the Cavalier lineup. Swing, strokes this one out into center field. Center fielder coming quickly, cannot get it. It bounces in front of Brian Ubelt. And so the tying run is on in the person of Aiden Taberzi as he singles to center. And that is, what is that, the eighth, ninth hit? I think that's the ninth hit.
And Taberzi started the inning in the first, but got on the run, I do believe.
He likes to go with a one-out hit. He's done it again here, and that brings Henry Kufa to the plate. Kufa now represents the lead run. If he can jack one out, he goes straight over the second baseman's head. It goes into right field. Going to stop at second is Taberzi, as he felt like, I do not want to make the out here at third.
Oh, no.
I need to play it safe. So two singles in a row, 10 hits in the game for the Cavaliers. They have the tying and lead run on base, and we're going to have a meeting on the mound. All of the infielders are going to get together with their pitcher and say, hey, you get them to hit the ball to us, we'll get you the out. Runners on first and second for Carlinville Cavaliers, 6-2 on the season, 1-1 in conference play. Coach Don Bargini looking to see if his Cavaliers can produce some seventh-inning magic here. A couple of runners on. Cleanup hitter Carson Weiser to the plate. He singled and scored last inning. This time he takes low, ball one. Here's where you have to be careful as a pitcher that you don't try to overthrow it.
You're right.
Because if you put it in the dirt, you put it to the screen, you put two runners in scoring position.
I believe he just kind of did that on that last pitch.
And Griffith did a good job of keeping it in front of it. One ball pitch to Weiser. It's fouled off. It went off his shoe. And then rolled meekly over towards the batting circle. And the count goes to 1-1. Big red number 7 on Carson Weiser's back. The left fielder wanting to see if he can do some damage here in the seventh. The 1-1 pitch is on its way. Low, smothered there by Griffith.
Gavin's had to come up with a couple of those already, and this at bat. Keep that tying run
well,
at 1 second.
At least the ball is hitting the dirt behind the plate. If it hits it in front or hits the plate,
oh,
then
boy.
you have no chance. Here comes the 2-1. Outside, ball three. The final outs are always the most difficult. The Miners need two. They lead by 1-3-2 as we play here in the top of the seventh inning. Otima to the plate. Weiser. Called strike. And the count is full. Three balls and two strikes, one out. Send the runners here or not?
I don't think you do.
You'd be very iffy. Better get a good jump. Better be a breaking ball if they do. We shall see. The runners are not going. Line drive into left. Left fielder played it back. Now he has to come in and makes a diving, stumbling catch. Cameron Link makes the catch. It wasn't a fly ball. It was an adventure.
He was going back, 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 and fortunately the ball was in. But he made the play.
Well, he was calculating there. It's a line drive. It's got the wind behind it. But the problem was it didn't have the height, really, for the wind to have any effect. So now with two outs, runners still on first and second, that will bring up Ryan Hart. Hart, who stands to be the loser in this game.
He's got the opportunity to change that.
And he could erase that loss, that's for sure. Ball one is low. Hart walked in the first, looked to strike three to end the third, and struck out for the first out of the sixth. A 1-0 count with the tying run at second, the lead run at first. Two outs, here's the pitch. Strike on the outside corner, and it's 1-1. Hart still got two big strikes. Miners trying to get that big third out, that difficult final out. Voltima to the stretch, checks on the runners. Now he brings it over the middle of the plate, strike two. Oh. For some reason, Mr. Hart did not like that call. The worst thing you can do is to back out and shake your head at the umpire, especially this umpire. I'm not saying that he's not just, but he does know when he's made the right call. Don't tell him differently. Here comes the two-strike pitch outside. Gets away from the catcher, but he smothered it, and it didn't get far enough away that anybody could advance. So it's two balls and two strikes with two on and two out, and number three at the plate, Ryan Hart. Big pitch here. 2-2. Hart's got to protect the plate. Voltima looking to paint a corner and pick up the win for the Miners. Here comes the pitch. Outside. That one tailed just a little too much. Okay, here starts the merry-go-round. Runners on first and second. Three balls, two strikes. They're off and running. Anything in the gap should score two runs as Hart has an opportunity to turn this game around. Voltima to the plate. Ground ball, two-third. He did not tag the runner. The runner is safe as Reines thought he could tag the runner at third for the third out instead of going to first, and he missed on the tag, so everybody is safe. It'll go down as a single for the batter, Ryan Hart. It loads the bases up. And now, Colton Costello is the man. Tying run at third. Go-ahead run at second. And insurance run at first. All of them out there ready to move if Colton Costello can put a charge in one. First pitch is high and away. And if he draws a walk, that RBI would tie the game. So Voltima realizes there's no place to put him on the bases. The 1-0 pitch coming. Swings, ground ball, third base, smothered, stepped on third. That is it. As Reines that time, there was no indecision. He had the ball right in front of the bag. He has the put out for the third out of the inning, and the Miners have a 3-2 victory. We'll come back and recap after these messages on double. Well, we said coming into tonight's game, we thought this was going to be a closely played game. We thought it was going to be a good old-fashioned kind of a baseball game, and it did not disappoint, Carl, as the Miners, with a rough start, gave up one run in the first inning. Then all the way through, it looked like that they were headed to a 1-0 loss. In the fifth inning, they caught fire and plated three, took a 3-1 lead. The Cavaliers come back in the top of the sixth. They're able to plate one. And in the top of the seventh, Carlinville did everything but score a run, Carl.
No doubt about it. And you look back, what the two bad things for Cavaliers, the first inning, that opportunity, had second and third with one out, didn't score another run. And then that last inning, when they get the bases loaded, if they can't get a run across to tie the ball game.
And they left three runners on in the first inning. They left three runners on in the last inning. Six runners left on base. And of those six, four of them were in scoring position.
Right.
That they didn't come in. And those are the things that come back to haunt you. But as far as the quality of the play of both teams, I think we've seen two teams that they finally now perhaps got enough time outside to where they're getting things together. Now, a couple of bad hops up the middle, especially the shortstop, and I don't say that the infield wasn't in excellent shape. It was, but sometimes when that ball's got that spin on it, you just get that weird hop. We saw a couple of those, but in the end, the home team, the Gillespie Miners, take the win 3-2 over the Cavaliers. Gillespie, with the win, improves their overall season record to 10-4. More importantly, they move to 3-2 in the conference. They may need some help, but they still have an opportunity to get a piece of that conference championship. The Cavaliers, with the loss, they drop to 6-3 and 1-2 in conference play. Ryan Hart, a masterful piece, but he is the pitcher of record to get the loss. Bryce Boos, who battled and battled, finally found his stuff. He had a very fine outing, and he will pick up the win. Final thoughts.
Yeah, it was a tale of two innings, basically. Gillespie had their big inning and scored the extra run. The Cavaliers had two chances to score more runs but did not do it, and then you end up with a one-run game, and just well played by both teams.
When opportunity knocks, you have to answer, and the Miners did, the Cavaliers didn't, and that's the way this game goes. It will be a 3-2 victory for the Gillespie Miners over the Carlinville Cavaliers. We want to take this opportunity to thank all the fine folks here at Gillespie for their hospitality. We always get treated so well. And perhaps the best part is I know that there are some pork burgers down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she may have saved one or two for me. I'm hoping so. But we do want to thank all the fine folks here at Gillespie for their hospitality. We want to thank all of our fans for listening in. We're glad that you participate in listening to these high school activities that we bring your way. And, of course, a special thanks goes to all of our sponsors. Without those people, we would not be able to bring you these high school activities. So thank you goes out to all of our sponsors. Special thanks also goes back to the studio, to our producer, Levi Ubelt. For Carl DeBar, I'm Gary Boker. One final time from Gillespie High School, our final score is Gillespie 3, Carlinville 2. So long from the Diamond.